Apostle Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, wrote, "All scripture is breathed out by God." The Bible is indeed the Word of God. He speaks to us through that written Word. But have you ever had a moment when you had a thought or inclination that didn't seem original with you? Could the Holy Spirit have whispered to you? Or was it possibly a sublime deception from the devil? Does God, on occasion, speak directly to the heart of the believer? That's the subject of today's discussion on Craving Answers, Craving God. I'm Chuck Rathert with Aaron Miller. Aaron is the senior pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church in Springfield, Illinois. Aaron, let's craft a hypothetical situation. You're sitting in your study preparing a sermon. You're pondering the meaning and depth of the text of the day. Suddenly, you have a new thought. You have a first-time impression. Maybe it's because you're so experienced and skilled in the scriptures. Or maybe the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart to reveal something you had never seen before. Is that a possibility?
Sure. Definitely a possibility. I think, though, it's probably a false either or to say, somebody comes up with an insight in scripture because they've practiced and they've studied the skills that it takes to know what a text means, let me rephrase that again. It's either you're smart, you've got the skills, you've practiced the skills, or the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. I think it's both and almost all the time. I mean, and I guess today we're going to talk about how do you know if it's both and that this will be a good topic. But you see in scripture, you see that the two guys whose names I don't remember in the book of Exodus, who are tasked by Moses to build the tabernacle, and God says that they were empowered by a spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon them. They were gifted to do this. It's probably both the case that these were two construction workers, designers, who had lots of experience and skill in building and in design, and simultaneously they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. And you have this wonderful text in Romans 8, for instance, where Paul says that the Holy Spirit, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, not to our spirit, but with our spirit, that we are the daughters and sons of God. Now, how do you know that you're a daughter and son, daughter or son of God? Is it because the Holy Spirit's told you, or is it because you've told yourself? And in Romans 8, at least, it's both. It's our spirit and the Holy Spirit working together. So I'm assuming it's the case that when I study scripture or when I do an act of self-sacrificial kindness for somebody, that it's both my spirit doing it, but it's the Holy Spirit who's empowering it. And I guess the person who asked this question, their question is specifically about how do you know when you get an inkling or an intuition or an insight into something, whether it's the Holy Spirit or not. And you started off, I think, Chuck, by rightly asking, how does the Holy Spirit work in general? Does the Holy Spirit always use and only just use the Bible, or can the Holy Spirit work outside the Bible? And I think the answer to that question is insights like this are both gained through practice and experience in studying the Bible. So it comes from the reader, the studier, but also and primarily it's a work of the Holy Spirit as well, but it's never one or the other. It's the Holy Spirit working by and with the skills which we've learned in practice.
Well, I know in my own experience, I have had a thought or seen something new that felt, and I'm going to use the word felt here, because there is a feeling that is associated with this phenomenon I'm trying to describe. It felt like it came from outside of me.
Right.
I felt like I can't take credit for what I think I just discovered somehow. It may happen during Bible study, or it might be just part of everyday living. Have you ever had a moment like that?
Yeah, sure. And when I was in high school, I don't want to tell the whole story because it's honestly not super interesting. But I remember immersing in myself one evening in Scripture because I needed help bad. And when I look back, I didn't, you know, high school, you kind of blow things out of proportion. But at the time, it was a bad situation, I felt like. And I ran across the text in 1 John 2 where John says, little children, your sins are forgiven for his name. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. That's what the King James Version says. And right now when I say that, I know that's true. But then I felt it like a wave of relief and joy in ways that I haven't experienced since, in ways that transcended just me understanding the information in that verse. And I'll chalk that up to the Holy Spirit. Now, some people might say, well, maybe you were just feeling bad and you needed something like that and it hit you. Okay, that's probably true too. But I don't think it's a fault. I think it's not false to say that it can be both. And I don't frequently have big, like mind-blowing, whoa, this is unbelievable moments. God just, I wish I did sometimes. But reading and understanding his word is that those happen in little moments all the way through. And it's a gift from him. And I like the way that you framed the question. I don't know if you were teeing it up for me or not. But if the question is, who gets to take credit for this insight or understanding of reality? Is it me or is it the Holy Spirit? The answer is always, it's God. It's the Holy Spirit. Even the brain that I have is not mine. It's a gift of God. And the way that my brain works chemically and processes senses from my eyes and when I read a book or from my ears when I listen to somebody interesting say something interesting, even the brain and the ears and the eyes, that's all a gift of God that he's making work, not me. They're just working outside of my control. He always gets the credit, always. But it's not the case that I'm a robot, just sort of like mechanically taking in information. I'm processing stuff too by his grace. And so I like to think of it as a both and. I know I've said that several times now, but I think it's probably more a both and than an either or.
Well, I guess there are two questions. The first is, does God communicate or reveal to people things directly that are not necessarily found in Scripture, that you couldn't go back and confirm in the Bible? Does he say, nope, is the discipline, go to the Word of God. I've given you my complete revelation in the Word of God. Go there, and that's where you'll find the answers that you need. Don't expect me to speak to you individually about this or that decision.
Right.
And the second is, if God deals with us, communicates with us, based on whatever individual situation we're facing now, and, you know, we're all praying all the time about facing this or that situation, how do you know if you have one of these moments, if you feel like you've received some kind of thought or whatever, where it came from? How do you know that it came from the Holy Spirit and didn't come from the devil himself?
Right, yeah.
I think that I think that's the sum of the question that was sent to us.
I think so too. At least I think that covers like the main things that I think are important about the conversation. I agree with you. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that we would need to cover, but I guess that might pop up as we go. Maybe the Holy Spirit will open up those doors for us as we go along, just by way of example. But I think you're right. So first of all, I want to say it's not the normal way. God normally speaks to us through his word, and everything. We have a more sure word of prophecy even than being on the Transfiguration Mountain and seeing it happen, Peter says in 2 Peter. So yeah, his word is the place to go, and we'll come back to that in a second. But I also do believe that God does speak. Not normally, but he will from time to time speak directly to people in specific searches, in specific situations. And this word will never contradict his written word, the Holy Scriptures, but it will supplement it and make sometimes applicable concrete situations more clear. I have never personally, I don't have this gift. I have never received a message from God that I know of outside of Scripture that says do this or that, except secondarily. And what I mean is I have had the experience, and maybe the other person involved in at least one of these situations will be listening to this and know I'm talking about them and thinking about them right now. I've had a person come to me and say to me, oh, this is going to sound weird to some of our listeners, God gave me a dream and in a vision, and in a vision, this happened, and what it means is you need to do this. And none of what they said contradicted his word. They didn't say, God says you need to go live for money or, you know, slap your kids or something like that. And that situation happened. And in the moment, I knew right away that what this person said to me was for this moment that was happening and I needed to do this. And if I had not gotten it, I would not have wanted to do this. I would have wanted to do that, something that would not have been good. But I was reminded from this person, and I took that as a message from God. Now, that's not normal. It doesn't happen to me a lot. It's never happened to me directly. But when it's happened, it's happened and it's paid out. It's been clear that God was at work here in this person. And so I think it does happen. And in the book of Acts, you see, you know, Agabus' daughters, you see people who have this prophetic gift say to Paul, if you go here, X is going to happen. And Paul goes and X happens. So I wouldn't rely on it. I wouldn't rely on it. We have Scripture for our day-to-day knowing normally what's right. But God, he's not in prison. Oh, and we talked about this recently too. There are a lot of Muslims in the East right now. I think we talked about Iran recently. Muslims who are getting visions of Jesus where he says crazy things to them that they would not have known, like quote Scripture to them, Jesus in their dreams. And they would never have known this Scripture. They've never picked up a Bible. They wouldn't be caught dead with the Bible, a Christian Bible or the Hebrew Bible, our Old Testament. And they pick it up, or God tells them this message from his word. Well, how am I supposed to explain that? Say it was a demon? You know, somebody knows and is able to quote back later after their dream a line from Psalm 118, which way they never would have known before. What am I supposed to say? That's they just had pizza last night and it upset their stomach and they had a bad dream. Or a demon put Psalm 118 into their head. That's nonsense. Of course God can do this if he wants to, and sometimes he does. We don't need it. We have his word, but if he wants to, he can do it, and sometimes he does. The second question is, how do you know? And this is a bit rambly. I'm going to have to take a few minutes to do this, Chuck, and I apologize. Just give me a wave if you want to interrupt me at all. This is a relationship thing. It's a relationship thing, and so there's no bullet points that will actually accomplish this for anybody. But here's three rough tests to know if the intuition you're getting or the message you're getting or the dream that you had last night, does it come from God? One is it in accordance with Scripture? If it violates anything in Scripture, it did not come from God. It came from somewhere else, either demonic forces or your bad attitude, or you might have had too much pepperoni pizza last night. Two, is it verifiable in the body of Christ? You need to submit this to the body of Christ. No prophecy can be interpreted individually. And Paul calls upon the churches to test the spirits. Well, actually, that's John, 1 John 4, verse 1. Test the spirits to see if they're from Christ. Paul talks in Romans 14, though, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 14, about the role of prophecy in Scripture. And he says, let two or three prophets speak in the worship service, and let the others, the ESV says, weigh what is said. But actually, the word there is the word for judge or discriminate. So prophets can prophesy in Christian worship, but it's the whole body of Christ who's called to judge what's being said. I don't get to have a prophecy and say, this prophecy is true. Everybody needs to obey it. The body of Christ is called to say, well, does this make sense? Does this make sense with us? That's the second thing. Let the body of Christ, and related to it is the third thing. So the second thing is more like, send it out to the body of Christ and give it to them. The third thing is almost like, and listen to the body of Christ. Let the body of Christ judge. So, and it's got to correspond between the body of Christ and yourself. I'll give you an example. If I feel like I'm being called to be a pastor, but nobody else in the body of Christ senses that I'm called to be a pastor, I might feel like God is calling me to be a pastor, but if the body of Christ is also not receiving that same message from the Holy Spirit, then I'm not, at least at this moment, being called to be a pastor. If the body of Christ is telling me, you should go be a pastor, but I know that I'm not equipped for that, then I'm not, at least in that moment, I should listen to them and weigh it and pray about it. But I know in that moment, see how it's a give and take in the relationship. It's the old joke about like so-and-so felt led by the Lord to sing a solo in church, but the congregation didn't feel led by the Lord to listen to them. It's one of those situations. It happens in community. I don't get to sit here and say, here's my intuition. It's from God. Everybody listen to it. The church is called to weigh the Spirit. It's called to test the spirits in John's language and to discriminate or judge the prophecies, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14. And so if you have an intuition from, so this person gave me this vision. I could tell you sometime the dream that they dreamed. And I might have mentioned it in here before. I wasn't sure what to make of it. Now I knew this person, and I'll tell you about this person that they're not flighty or given to emotional outbursts. This person's very calm and quiet. And so I tended to give them the benefit of the doubt. It wasn't until the situation that they had spoken up to me would happen, that God had told them would happen. It's not until that exact situation happened did I think, oh, this is right. And if they hadn't said anything, I would have been tempted to do choice A, and I should be doing choice B. That I thought, yes, that's it. But see, I tested it. I didn't just say, well, it must be true. Or I didn't say, oh, I don't believe in that nonsense. Just all you need is scripture. I don't need you telling me what to do. I tested it in practice based upon God's word. It didn't violate God's word to see if it was true and if it made sense with the way God generally reveals himself. I shouldn't have used the word general because it's special revelation in scripture. You know what I mean though. And it paid out, but I couldn't, that none of that needed to happen on an individual level. It had to happen on a group level. So bring if you have an insight, what you believe is an insight from the Lord, bring it to the body of Christ, bring it to a pastor, bring it to the elders of your church, bring it to your Sunday school class, bring it to some wise Christians that you know in your church and weigh it with what they say. And if they say, I don't think this is right, then maybe cool your heels a little bit. If they say, you know what, I can see all this playing out and making sense in the life of the church and in your life, then it just might be a message from the Holy Spirit.
Can I tell you a story?
Absolutely. Go for it.
This happened to be one time I used to work in Clayton, Missouri, and I was out of the office for lunch. I was walking down the sidewalk in Clayton looking for a fast food restaurant to get some food. And as I'm maybe 50 yards away from my destination, I'm approached by a woman. And I can tell that she has a need. She's not looking down. She's kind of looking right at me, which causes me to think, I don't want to be involved. I'm just going to lunch. And I probably started to move in a direction away from her. But she came right up to me and asked me if I could help her out for lunch, you know, if I could give her something, some money for lunch. And I was uncomfortable with that. I didn't like it. I was not impolite, but I just declined the opportunity and said I needed to move on, and I did. I don't think I got 20 feet when I experienced what felt to me like a broadside to my head, a rebuke, what I had done was wrong. And it was so compelling that I did a 180, a literal 180, turned around and went back down the sidewalk to catch up with her. And then I did give her some money for lunch or whatever it was. And I didn't do it because I wanted to. I did it against my will. Something felt like it came from the outside that compelled me to do it. I knew what I did was right, but I didn't like it. So ever since then, I have felt like that was a Holy Spirit moment. That was a direct intervention by God on my conscience,
right,
to compel me to do that. Now, I don't tell that story to too many people because I don't want to claim to be, you know, well, I hear from God every once in a while when I'm on my way to McDonald's. I don't want people to get that message. But that's what I believe.
Yeah.
Am I permitted to believe that?
Yeah, for sure. I think God does work in situations like that. And, you know, the question was that, Chuck, was that your kindly spirit coming out or...
It wasn't that day.
Pangs of conscience that you've done something that's reprehensible or the Holy Spirit encouraging you to do right? The other possibility is it's a demonic spirit tormenting you, accusing you of doing wrong. That's what the accuser, Satan is the accuser. And the answer is that of course it could be God. It could be God using your conscience to do that. It could be God directly manipulating a heart of love inside of you and stirring you up to do that. It could just be God kicking your butt and saying, hey, get back there and do better.
It felt like God kicking my butt. That's the way it felt.
Right. Yeah. It actually even could be.
And it felt well deserved, even though I didn't like it. It felt well deserved. I deserved to have my butt kicked.
Yeah, I mean, if it was God, everything he does is right, so it would be well deserved. It could even be, I've got to be careful here because this opens up the portal to long, turgid conversation we don't want to have here. Even if it's Satan accusing you, it could be God using that accusation to motivate you to write. Luther's got this great quote I like to kick around every once in a while. Whenever Satan accuses me of being a horrible sinner, he comforts me immeasurably since Christ died for sinners. So Satan tries to accuse me and God just uses that to comfort me. You have the end of the story of David's life in the Samuels, and it says that Satan moved him to, what's the word? Satan moved him to number the people to do the census. Chronicles, the end of the story, says that God moved him to do it. Which one was it? And the answer is that God, Satan does bad stuff and God can override that and use that for his purposes. But I think that's a great example of a time when you were going to do something that you believe is wrong, it was selfish, and in that moment, and that God, without opening up a text of scripture in front of your face on the middle of the sidewalk in Clayton, turned your heart to go and make it right. I think that that's one of the things the Holy Spirit does. Now, you could say, well, you have all that, you know, you've spent that time in God's Word and at church learning about love and self-sacrificial service to our neighbors. And so that was all God using that. Okay, I'm willing to buy that. In that moment, you weren't thinking about those texts, but God brings that back to your mind and your heart at that moment. I think that's a good example of God working outside of an open Bible to bring his truth into your life and make it happen. I think that's a good example.
In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul describes gifts of the Spirit that include the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, and the gift of prophecy. Those are all things that, in one way or another, involve revelation.
Right.
You know something, or you have wisdom that you didn't have before. So is God still as active in the church age since Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension as he was talking to the prophets, lots of prophets in the Old Testament?
Yeah, in spite of the efforts of cessationists, that's those who want to say, oh, these charismatic gifts aren't for us anymore. In spite of their futile efforts, I believe, there's nothing in the text of Scripture that would indicate that these gifts no longer exist. There's nowhere that says that, you know, they're void and they were temporary and they're obsolete and now we don't need them anymore now in this age. And in fact, I know of people, like I've told you the story just a few minutes ago of somebody who had this sort of prophetic insight, this prophetic wisdom that God had given them as a gift. I asked him too. I said, is this the first time you've ever had an experience like this? And she said, no. And I didn't press and say, tell me more stories, because she had something that God had given her for me. And I also didn't say to her, well, give me scripture if you want to give me anything at all. Your dreams mean nothing to me. Leave me alone. I took it that God had given her prophetic insight into my situation at that moment because he loved me and he loved her and he wanted us to have this experience together of her sharing God's word with me. I took it as valid. And I don't always get that. I always have the scripture, but God's not imprisoned by the scripture. So I think it's very clear that these sorts of things are needed and are used today.
You know, if you go to the television, watch some of the preachers that are on television, eventually you're going to see one who, when sermonizing, will say, last night the Lord spoke to me, and then he'll give you the revelation that he received directly from the Lord last night.
Right.
I get nervous when I hear that.
Me too.
Or should I not be nervous? Should I just believe the man got a revelation from God?
I don't like to listen to sermons on TV, but
and you join probably a large crowd of people, but there are a lot of people, and some of them are probably in your congregation.
Yes, yeah,
who frequent, you know, every week watch this TV preacher or that TV preacher.
See, the problem is, like, who the heck knows? The sort of the standards that I gave you before, which are echoing John's standards from 1 John 4 and Paul's standards from 1 Corinthians 14 of testing the spirits, weighing out, discriminating against prophecies to see which one, judging prophecies to see which are true. I can't do that. I don't know this guy. I'm not in his body. I don't have any way of, like, weighing this with him and with my fellow Christians who are sitting in the middle of this teaching. All I have is this voice on TV. I don't know. How am I supposed to trust him, you know? Church was never designed to be like that. It's much easier when somebody in my congregation or in my intimate Christian friend group says, God's given me this message. Well, then let's pray about this together and talk about this together and see how this works up against the scriptures that God has brought to our hearts and the situations that God has led us into. I'm with you, though. On TV, I don't know this guy, and I'm a good postmodern. I'm tempted to think that he's saying words like this. He's using God language to control me, to get my money, probably. That's what I'm worried about. And unfortunately, history and our experience as a culture with TV preachers doesn't do anything to calm that nervousness. And so if somebody says something like that to me, I say, well, who knows? Maybe he's making it up. Maybe he really does that, but who knows? And there's no way I could ever know because I don't know him and he doesn't know me. And we aren't in the same Christian community together.
Many Christians are in the habit of taking their cares to the Lord. After all, the Apostle Peter in his first letter said, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So if you have anxieties, if you are troubled, it seems that we are encouraged to take those to the Lord. If you get in your prayer space and you bring those cares to the Lord, are you looking for an answer? Are you looking for an outcome? Are you just saying, hey, Lord, here are some of the things that are bothering me. Just thought you might like to know. Or are you hoping that you're going to hear from the Lord a path out of the anxiety? Is that what the scripture is saying?
Yeah, I think so. Again, it's hard for us not to read this as modernist, as enlightenment people. We read, cast your cares on the Lord, and we think, okay, so he's going to give us some information to fix it, because we think information fix everything. You know, that's what we need is more info.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And, what we need is a person, and he deals with these situations in any way he sees fit. So the proper prayer is cast your anxieties on Jesus because he cares for you. And then he will handle these in all different kinds of ways. And I'm not saying he won't give you information. Sometimes it might be somebody will stop by and tell you that something has happened, which actually answers your specific problem. But more frequently, it's a closeness to him that comes from that. It's letting him orchestrate circumstances And I think that's entirely appropriate. And then if he doesn't, to say, well, all I need is him anyway. You know, if I say to my dad, if I say, I'm scared of the wolf that prowls through the woods outside of our home, I'm not looking for him to give me a lesson on the life cycles and habits of predatory dogs in the wild. What I'm looking for him is to stay close to me. Just stay close to me, Dad. And so I just want to know that I'm protected. And if something bad happens, I want you there because I trust you to take care of it. That's entirely appropriate prayer, as long as what we're looking for is the person, not the info. And so to cast all of our cares on him and say, okay, you're my heavenly Father. You love me. You deal with this however you want. If you want to do some sort of miraculous big thing, if you don't want to do anything at all except for just assure me over and over that you're not going to leave me, anything in that spectrum, that's, I just want to be close to you. I think that's entirely appropriate.
Well, I always ask myself when we get to the end of one of these programs, how well did we do for our questioner, the person who sent us, who triggered the content of this program? And I'm not sure. And I think we have to admit that, well, we just don't have an outline. Here are your three steps right to the answer that you're looking for. How do you feel? Do you think we're helpful?
It depends on, I think you're right, Chuck. It depends on what you're looking for. If you want like a three-step outline to fix your problems and to know, oh, I know how I can get God to talk to me and give me information and I'll know it's from him, then we've probably been unsuccessful, but I really don't know a way to be successful if that's the goal. If what we've done is encourage people to be in God's word and in Christian community so that they can start to build up this sense of which intuitions God is giving them come from him and which don't, then if people are encouraged to become involved in that sort of community and life in God's word together with other of his children, then I think that this will be successful. But it's depends on where people take this.
In listening to you talk about this, I just have the thought, wherever two or three are gathered together, absolutely, there I am in the midst. Yeah. That is sort of the formula. Put that together, and then I think some of the answers, some of the clarity that you seek will be found there.
Yeah, with God's people studying his word and praying together, that's how we know we're going to be in his presence and he's going to be leading us.
Today's topic is yet another sent to us by one of our Craving Answers, Craving God listeners. We've begun to accumulate quite a collection of suggestions. If you'd like to recommend a topic, please email us at cacg@stjamesglencarbon.org. We'll add it to our list of possibilities for future podcasts. For Pastor Aaron Miller and Production Manager Larry O'Leary, I'm Chuck Rathert.